in Psalm 139. And we'll be in the third section of it, which is the third section of six verses. Let's pray as we come to our passage. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how your word speaks into our hearts and lives. We pray that your word would come alive to us today, maybe in a new way, in a way we've never seen it before. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if I were to ask you the question, who are you? How would you answer that? Well, the first thing, you might throw out your name. But after that, what would you say? I am a, you might say, okay, I'm not going to let you answer. I'm just going to keep talking. You might say, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a boy, I'm a girl. You might identify with your ethnic group. You might say your profession. You might say, I'm a mom or a dad, or I'm a husband or a wife. And there's a lot of things that we can say when somebody asks, who are you? You might have something to do with your accomplishments, some things that you've done. But, you know, as I'm looking around, and especially I see this with young people growing up today, there seems to be an identity crisis. And kids are being told today, you can identify as anybody or anything you want. You can identify as a boy or a girl. You can identify as another race. You can identify as a cat. I'm not kidding. People are doing this. And I think we're making it really complicated for our kids. How about we just start with this? I'm a person. Let's start there. And then in God's word, he tells us who we are. And that's really where we find our identity first and foremost. It's not who the world says we are. It's not even who, maybe who we think we are. It's who God says we are. He starts it. So I'd like to read to you this third section in Psalm 139. If you think of Psalm 139 as a song with four verses, and each verse is made up of six lines, we're in that third grouping, verses 13 through 18. So Psalm 139, 13 through 18. It says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts. God, how vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." So really, knowing who you are starts with who made you. Starts with your creator. That gives you your foundation for who you are. You didn't just magically appear. And I want to tell you today that you have value because of that. And I want to give you an example here today. I have a bill here, U.S. currency. I emptied my bank account. This is what I came out with. I don't usually carry around a $100 bill. So if anyone's listening online, don't rob me. I don't carry these things around. But this is Benjamin Franklin, and you see the stamp on it from the U.S. Federal Reserve System. It is signed by the Secretary of the Treasury. This is worth $100. This is valuable. You can go to any store and buy anything you want up to $100 with this. So let me ask you this. How much is it worth now? $100. All right, what if I keep doing this? Now it's like an eighth of its original size. Would anyone still want this? Yeah, you would. Everybody would want this. What if I wrinkle it up and crinkle it, step on it, ground it in with my dirty bottom of my shoes? It stuck to the bottom of my shoe. Would you really want this? Does this have any value? Of course it does. All right, so do you. You have God's stamp. You are the only, we are the only creatures in all of God's creation that it says were created in the image of God. And it doesn't matter if you get crinkled up. It doesn't matter how wrinkled you are, and some of you are. It doesn't matter if you got hair or you don't got hair. It doesn't matter what your abilities or disabilities are. You have value because you have been stamped. You've been made in the image of God. And as Christians, it says we are new creations in Christ. And that's how we identify ourselves. When somebody asks me who I am, my response might be my name, but the first thing that comes to mind is, I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian. That is how I'm identified. I was created by God. And we live in a strange society that puts value on different things, on things that don't necessarily need to have value. I mean, think about when you think about important people, people that people want to get their autographs and they want to see them and they want to know them. You think of celebrities. You think of athletes and actors, right? So think about this. We find people really valuable and important because they can bounce a ball. How valuable is that to the human race? What if we took away all athletes? Would we still be okay? We'd still be okay, right? What about actors? No offense to you folks that like drama, but actors basically are really good at pretending to be someone else. How valuable is that? Well, it's fun when you can go see a movie or a play, but really, we could do okay without actors. We'd be all right. Some of you are thinking I'm crazy. I don't like movies, by the way, so I'm kind of weird that way, I guess. Or maybe not weird. Maybe you're weird if you like movies. But think about that. And think about people who actually do important things in our society. And, you know, you see when you have these public service announcements about candidates that they want you to vote for, they always put athletes and actors up there. Like their opinion matters more than someone else's. You know whose opinions really matter? Plumbers. Think about that. We cannot live without those people. All right? How about mechanics? Right? And we could go doctors, nurses, firefighters, police officers. We could go through people that actually serve and protect and save and really get us out of messes. I want to hear my plumber's opinion on who I should vote for. That's what I want to listen to. But we put value in different places. But the fact is, we all have value. And so as you think about this, and as you read this passage, I want you to think about this. You were made by God. Society may say you're this or you're that, you're ugly or you're good looking, or you know you're attractive in some way, or you have something going for you. But remember this, God defines who you are. Those people don't define who you are. And we need to begin with that. And so when you think about that too, think about this. We got to live for him. If God made us, he made us for a purpose so that we could live for him. In Romans 12, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We should live for him because he's the one who made us. The people who made the $100 bill want it to be used to go back into the economy to buy things. God made us for a purpose, and that is to live for him. And it's going to be different for each one of us, what that looks like, how that plays out. Here's another thing that we should think about with the fact that God made us and gave us these bodies, is that we should take care of ourselves. You know, I know you probably hear this when you go to your annual physical, but lay off the Twinkies and Mountain Dew, okay? You know, exercise, all those good things. You weren't expecting to hear that from your pastor today, but it is a biblical thing to take care of yourself. God wants you to live here and serve him while you are here as long as you can. It's a biblical thing to do that. And another thing to think about when we understand this concept of what God has created this world. We should care for it. We should care for everything that God has created. I saw a story on the news the other day that said that there's a patch of garbage, of trash, in the Pacific Ocean between Hawaii and California that is twice the size of Texas. And it just floats to the same area because of the currents, because of the trade winds and all that stuff. So there's this big patch there. And I thought about that. I said, that's not what God wanted us to do with this planet. It isn't. And I think about caring for animals. And those of you who know me know I'm not a real big animal person. But I want to read to you a proverb. It says, the righteous care for the needs of their animals. We should care for what God has made. And the most important creature that God has made is those created in his own image, and that's us. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest command? He said, love the Lord your God. That was number one. He He said the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, because your neighbor was also wonderfully made, created in God's image. We should care for one another. And whenever people downgrade other people, hurt other people, and even get to the point of killing other people, what they often do is they somehow say that life is not as important, or they say they're somehow subhuman. And, you know, I was thinking about this in Nazi Germany. You know, obviously, they thought the Jews were less than their so-called superior Aryan race. But they also didn't care much for elderly people or the disabled, because what could they do? You know, that they thought that they weren't useful. And that's a tragedy when that happens. It's a tragedy in American history when the Constitution was written that slaves were considered 3/5 of a person. Isn't that nice? They were given 60% humanity, not 100%. What a sad thing to think about in our own history. And even today in our country, there's a group of people that are considered not human, less than human, even though their heart beats, even though they have brain waves. And those are the unborn. And they're considered less than human. And, you know, I was also reading a story about there are certain countries, I believe Iceland and Denmark were mentioned, where there are hardly any Down syndrome people in that country at all, because they are selected out before they are born. And as I think about that, you know, my wife, Christy, works at the middle school with special needs kids. And there's a classroom of kids with all different kinds of abilities and challenges in their lives. And one of the boys that she works with a lot has Down syndrome. And I just think about that kid. And he's funny. He's a really funny kid. And Christy enjoys working with him. All the teachers love him. All the classmates love him. He's become a good friend to my son, Caleb. And I just think about this. I'm glad he's in the world. His friends are glad he's in the world. His parents are glad he's in the world. He's a person. He has every bit as much value as anybody else. And as I'm talking here today, you may think, okay, the pastor's making some kind of a political statement. And let me just tell you this. I'm one of the least political people you'd want to know. I'm an independent registered voter, but I do believe in life. But when I say that, I mean womb to tomb. I mean we should care for the needs of people who have yet to be born, and then people after they've been born, the poor, and people who need help in various ways. So if you say you're pro-life, make sure it's whole life, to the elderly, to the unborn, to everybody in between. We should love people with all of our hearts, and that crosses political lines. You've heard me talk about environmentalism today, right? That's supposed to be a left issue, right? No, it's a Christian issue. We should care for God's creation because we are wonderfully made. Everything he makes is good. And that's the final part of this, and I thought about this part of my message today as we were singing. You give us breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. You've made it possible for us to breathe, so we're going to praise you. So praise God because you're wonderfully made, and praise God for this world that we live in. As I think about our bodies and our lives and how complex our bodies are, and just to walk across the room and all the different muscles and ligaments that takes, it's just amazing to think about. And now I was thinking about it. I had that procedure on my back a few weeks ago, and I had a bunch of stitches, and they sewed it up, obviously, and the flesh comes together, and it regenerates. That's great, right? That's good. I'm glad I'm not stuck with looking like Frankenstein forever, right, with the thing. But so it's just amazing what God does. The fact that you can see and the fact that you can remember things. Some of you can remember things from when you were in first grade. You may be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, and you can remember things you learned. What a great mind God has given to us. And think about this when you breathe. When you breathe, you take in oxygen that goes into your lungs, and then it goes through your bloodstream and enables you to live. But when you breathe back out, carbon dioxide comes back out. And interestingly enough, plants take in the carbon dioxide, and they give us back oxygen. What a good idea. It's almost like it was planned that way, right? And what an amazing thing. So don't cut down all the trees. Here I go again being an environmentalist, right? You like air? You better like trees, okay? We need the green stuff too, because we got to breathe. And I want to quote to you something from an atheist biologist, a guy named Richard Dawkins. He goes around debating Christians, and it's kind of interesting, but he made this one statement. Biology is the study of complicated things that give the appearance of having been designed for a purpose. Even he knows. He won't admit it. He knows. He looks around and he sees the complexity. He sees the beauty of it. He won't come out and admit it, but he knows that there's a designer. The whole world has been made by the Lord. We are all wonderfully made, and we should love everybody else who is also wonderfully made. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you for who we are. We praise you for who you made us to be. Lord, I thank you for each person here, each person that's made in your image, but each person who's different, that you've made with different gifts and abilities and personalities. I pray that we would use all of these gifts and abilities, that all of our lives would be used to bring honor and glory to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Eyes of what they